It just didn't exist, but I guess we have to pick up the pieces and do our best now.
Yeah, that's right. I remember one time, you knew my Uncle Pete, he's dead now. And I thought, well, he was just, well, that was my dad, and then there was Uncle John, and then Uncle Pete. So they were, you know, and I thought surely he would know something about my mother. But he couldn't remember anything about my mother.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because I remember as a child in Strasbourg that my parents were very close to the Beatlers, to Pete and Rose.
Oh, yeah.
My Rose was my mother's first cousin.
Oh, yeah.
She was a Baumgartner.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember a lot, but I remember once in a while, I remember your family, someone must have come. They either went up to Rugby or to Pierce County, or they would come down, and I remember
a little
bit of that.
I think my dad used to go a lot down there.
Yes, and then I remember that, because I remember when I got interested in all this, Pete would always say that, you should have talked to my brother. He did a lot of reading.
That would have been your father. I bet that was my father.
Yes, and I think so, because I had a sense that, of course, little did I know that I'd be interviewing you today, I think that came out quite clearly, that he said, it's too bad that we couldn't have him involved with all of this German-Russian activity, and that's true in many cases.
Well, this is what I've been thinking, if only somebody could have talked to my dad, you know.
Because there aren't too many that were willing to do that,
and
not so many that were readers.
Readers,
especially when they subscribed to those German newspapers. That was very important to them. Did you grow up in a family where there was much sewing, or they kept textiles, or did weaving or bobbin lace or anything like that?
Well, my grandmother did a lot of crocheting, beautiful crocheting, and I don't think she had patterns. Because I never remember her using a pattern when she was, and she would crochet some of these laces for the Alps and for church and tablecloths, and I've kind of taken this up now. Now that I'm semi-retired, I do a lot of crocheting. My mother made all our clothes.
Your mother made all your own clothes?
Yeah, she made all our own clothes, and just before I left for the convent, she taught me how to sew. After I got to the convent, I didn't sew anymore, so I suppose I could put something together. No, but no, she did all her sewing. So and she would. One time I wanted a certain dress, and I showed it to her in the catalog. Well, we don't have any money, she said, to send for this, but she says I'll make it for you. She did. She said, had a look at it.
Where did she get the material to make it?
Well, she bought that in Rugby.
There was a store, Mercantile
Store. Textiles, yeah. Ever so often we'd get to Rugby, you know, to do some shopping after we had a car.
Was that a big deal, going to Rugby?
Oh, my, yes. I was allowed to go to Rugby once with my uncle, Uncle Wendland. And my father gave me, I think it was an 8-gallon can of cream. And so my uncle kind of took care of this and gave me the money. I think it was $8 and some cents. And I bought myself a dress for the 4th of July. I paid $5 for the dress. And then I always loved plants, and I went to the greenhouse and bought myself a little fern for 10 cents. And I brought the rest of the money back. And I said, well, here, Dad, is the rest of this money. I've got so much, and this is all that I spend. He said, well, if I'd have known you didn't need everything, I would have told you to bring me a white shirt. And I never forget that. Yeah. And then I think to myself, now who would bring the rest of the money back these days? Give it to their father.
And I think that was your upbringing.
Yeah.
Honesty, you know.
Honesty, and I knew we were poor.
Yes. Was that certainly a sense in the family that the children knew they were poor and they have to make the best of it?
Yes. But my father always said, as long as we have meat and potatoes, we won't starve. And when my father was a county commissioner, he told me that one time, that they wanted him to take welfare out for the, you know, he had a big family, you know, everybody was taking welfare. And he said, oh no, as long as we have potatoes and meat, my family is not going to starve, and I'll never take out welfare, he said. Mm-hmm. No matter, even if we have to cut down on some things, but that I will not do. Mm-hmm. And my father was a man who, if he didn't have the money, he didn't buy it.
Mm. It had to be paid in cash.
Had to be paid in cash.
Not much credit there.
No.
Didn't believe in that.
No. Well, and not in those days.
Right.
They didn't have any to put in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Later he did, but not.
The house that you lived in, mm-hmm. was it a small house?
It was, they tell me, in the first, when my father got married first, they lived in a chicken coop. Mm. Made it, you know, renovated it into a house, and that's where I lived. And of course, my mother died at my grandmother's. My grandmother took care of her. But then in 19, well, after he got married the second time, 1916, then he built the house. And we lived, well, it's still standing there, but nobody's living in it.
Mm-hmm. And is the farm homestead still in the Beecher family?
Part of it is. Part of it is rented out.
But yeah. Still in the family?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you have any brothers that are farmers?
Only two. Yeah, I've got two brothers that are farmers.
In Pierce County?
Pierce County. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah. They've stayed around home?
They've stayed around home. In fact, this one brother is having surgery today for cancer. Mm. I haven't heard anything yet.
Has your family expressed an interest in this German-Russian roots?
Yes, they have, especially my sister Rose.
What is her full name?
Rose Berry from Coos Bay, Oregon. Mm. I'll have to give your address because yes. I'm sure she's been wanting some of this, and I have sent her some materials out there that you've sent to me.
Yes.
And Margaret, I guess, at one time was very interested, but now her... Well, both her son and daughter are kind of working on the family tree, too.
On what side?
I think it's on the Axman side.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Although Mary Lynn has sent me some on the Thomas side that she's found.
So your mother, and then you learned to make your own clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And did she prepare the clothes when you left for the convent?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Were special clothes made?
Yeah, we had, at first it was special clothes, but then when, as I said, we were very poor at that time, so sometimes we'd get clothes from here, you know.
Mm-hmm. What about quilts? Did they have these quilting parties?
No, not at that time, but my mother, when she got older, she made quilts.
She did make quilts.
Oh, yes.
So she kept it as long as she could?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you were going to the convent.
I was going to the convent.
You heard about the quilting part.
But she made the feather beds.
Oh, she did?
Oh, yeah. I brought a feather bed with me when
so
I came to the convent.
Do you have any of your mother's, her fine work?
No, I don't have any of her fine work.
Mm-hmm. No. And Dakota Farmer, as you mentioned earlier, was important in the family, in your family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was like, you could hardly wait to get to Dakota Farmer?
Yeah, uh-huh. Because that was in English.
Yes. You were glad of that.
Uh-huh.
So there was no English newspaper in your house?
No, except Dakota Farmer. I remember then the Pierce County Tribune. Yeah, that's right. There was a... Mm-hmm.
You got that.
Yeah.
Here at Convent of St. Francis, have they encouraged the nuns to take time and study their roots?
Well, yes, they have. Uh-huh, they have, yeah.
And they're interested in that?
They're interested in... And I think, as you said, you wanted a copy of this book that's in the chapel.
Mm-hmm.
And while you were talking there today, and I thought, yes, I never thought of this, but years down, mm-hmm. when the young ones are coming, they're not going to know anything about these sisters, the pioneers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very important to place this in other locations where there's a lot of research going
on. Yeah, that's right.
But I think you can help us in letting us know who in the family is interested in this so we can inform them from the university, because I think it, as I mentioned at lunch, it takes it to another step when mm-hmm. they see a university getting involved, because uh-huh. it's rare in America that a university is that involved with its ethnic people and its state as
right.
the university is in Fargo.
Mm-hmm.
I have a few last questions and comments. First of all, I'd like to ask you how you feel about the importance of this family history and culture being passed down to other generations.
Well, I feel it is very, very important. And the older I get, the more important I feel that it is. When we're young, we don't think about this, but as we get older, we think, well, now, who were my relatives, or, you know? Because we lose touch of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the young generation is the ones that are really starting this up.
Right.
Yeah.
And they have the advantage because of the mm-hmm. computer technology.
Well, this is it.
They're putting this all in the computer.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. for example, if you could get on the World Wide Web, mm-hmm. you would see many pictures, for example, when I was in those villages in mm-hmm. in Odessa in December.
Uh-huh.
So there's all this technology, and mm-hmm. we have Bishop's Worth publication with pictures on
mm-hmm.
there, so they have access uh-huh. to connections, and
uh-huh.
and we have electronic mail and all of this.
Yeah.
And so it provides a wonderful opportunity. And I think there are some young people interested, but again, we need to identify who they are.
Who they are, yeah.
In some ways.
When I saw this one picture you had in the newsletter,
mm-hmm.
A relative of Welk?
Yes.
What's her name?
Antonia Welk,
yeah.
Ivanova.
Yeah, and it reminded me of my grandmother, Bickler.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, she could just step right into North Dakota,
yeah,
and she'd look
could.
A lot like
she
speaks just like our people in Rugby or Strasbourg.
Really? Oh.
The same dialect.
Oh.
She kept it up.
Isn't that wonderful?
It's quite a story, yes.
Yeah.
And this summer in June, when we're in Odessa, we're going
mm-hmm.
to bring her to the hotel to interview
oh.
her in detail.
Oh, isn't that beautiful?
Because she knows a lot about
uh-huh.
it. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you'd like to say that you think is important
really
for the future generations?
So. For the future generation, yes. That they shouldn't sit back and don't forget to ask their elders about
yeah.
their heritage.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what was missing in our generation, because I don't know, we must not have been interested in it. And of course, we had some disadvantages because there was such a between the Catholics and the Protestants, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you didn't know both languages, well, you were punished because you didn't speak English, you know. And
mm-hmm.
and that kind of prevented us from, you know, really going out on this and even
mm-hmm.
Learning it at home. Because
mm.
we didn't want to be punished when we came to school and we couldn't speak.
Interesting,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was there ever friction between
oh, yes.
Protestants and Catholics?
There was friction. In even that little town of Balta, where there were only about three or four Protestant families, there was friction, especially when the holy days came around and we were supposed to go to church, you know?
Because of the school.
The school. Mm-hmm.
They didn't like that when you missed school.
No. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you know anyone else in your family that should be interviewed? Is there anyone else that you can think of that you think would have a lot to say, or any other relative? Think about that, even if you don't remember now.
Well, Rose is very interested in it, but now she's almost the youngest in our family.
Mm-hmm.
And well, Margaret and I have talked a lot about it. Because, of course, her daughter, Mary Lynn, is her daughter.
Oh, yes.
And she's been working on this. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much she can work because of her mental condition.
Yes.
And, but she has sent me some material, which I appreciate.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we've had a wonderful discussion, mm-hmm. and we'll probably think of many more things when we're done
well,
talking.
Afterwards, yes.
You'll probably go back to your room or to work and think,
I
should have said this.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you think of it, write it down.
Mm-hmm.
You have the questions. Remember that there's a second set of questions I'm going to leave with you.
Oh, I see.
And the second set goes into more detail, more personal questions.
Personal questions.
Things that our German-Russian people didn't always want to talk about.
Oh.
You know, marriage, divorce.
Marriage and divorce and
alcoholism.
I was
like
just going to say the
no. So I'll give you those because it'd be nice if you,
yeah.
if we came sometime, because I think you would be good to talk about
mm-hmm.
the second series. And to this point, we've done very few interviews with that second set.
Oh, yeah.
Most people don't want to talk about it.
I believe it.
They don't want to talk about it. Because, you know, that it wasn't all roses.
Oh, no.
Amongst the German-Russian families.
I should say not.
And it wasn't all roses for the mother.
No.
At times, as you know.
Mm-mm. No,
it was not the best situation. I mean, there was many good families,
yeah.
but they pretty much had to take a back seat, as you'd say.
Oh, yeah, they did.
In some cases.
Yeah.
I think we're going to finish our interview with Sister Mary Bernadine Bichler. It was a real pleasure. This is Michael Miller, Germans from Russia bibliographer at North Dakota State University, Fargo. And I want to wish Sister Bernadine a wonderful spring with many roses and many flowers. It's kind of a late spring, but today it's a beautiful day.
Yes, it is.
It's a beautiful day, especially because I'm here at the Convent of St. Francis. Thank you.